All right, so in our Trusting God book, we are on lesson 10, which is chapter 12, Growing Through Adversity, and it's on page 313 in our books today. And as I mentioned, we are, for those that are listening on the recording, we have three more weeks in our book, lessons 10, 11, and 12. And then the following week will be a prayer time for all the ADE classes all together in the worship center. And then we start our new class, I believe it's the 25th of April. And we'll be studying a book by Nancy Lee DeMoss on holiness will be the next study. And there's information in the bulletin today about our new next study that we'll be doing next quarter. So lesson 10, Growing Through Adversity. The central idea is adversity causes us to develop Christ-like character. For the believer, all pain has meaning. All adversity is profitable. We like to read that and we, easy to come off the tongue, but that's hard to understand and hard to believe when we're going through it, isn't it? Examining trust. One of the many fascinating events in nature is the emergence of the Cecropia moth from its cocoon, an event that occurs only with much struggle on the part of the moth to free itself. The story is frequently told of someone who watched a moth go through this struggle. In an effort to help and not realizing the necessity of the struggle, the viewer snipped the shell of the cocoon. Soon the moth came out with its wings all crimped and shriveled. But as the person watched, the wings remained weak. The moth, which in a few moments would have stretched those wings to fly, was now doomed to crawling out its brief life in frustration of ever being the beautiful creature God created it to be. What the person in the story did not realize was that the struggle to emerge from the cocoon was an essential part of developing the muscle system of the moth's body and pushing the body fluids out into the wings to expand them. Isn't God amazing how he creates even the moth? The adversities of life are much like the cocoon of the Cecropia moth. God uses them to develop the spiritual muscle system of our lives. We can be sure that the development of a beautiful Christ-like character will not occur in our lives without adversity. Fortunately, God does not ask us how or when we want to grow. He is the master teacher, training his pupils when and how he deems best. He is, in the words of Jesus, the gardener who prunes the branches of his vineyard. The healthy vine requires both nourishment and pruning. Through the word of God, we are nourished, but through adversity, we are pruned. Both the Hebrew and Greek languages express discipline and teaching by the same word. God intends that we grow through the discipline of adversity as well as through the instruction from his word. There are several things we can do in order to learn from adversity and receive the beneficial effects that God intends. First, we can submit to it. Not reluctantly, as the defeated general submits to his conqueror, but voluntarily, as the patient on the operating table submits to the skilled hand of the surgeon as he wields his knife. Second, to profit most from adversity, we should bring the word of God to bear upon the situation. Martin Luther reportedly said, "Were it not for tribulation, I should not understand the scriptures." We might say then that the word of God and adversity have a synergistic effect, as God uses both of them together to bring about the growth in our lives that neither the word nor adversity would accomplish by itself. Third, in order to profit from our adversities, we must remember them and the lessons we learn from them. God wants us to remember them not just as trials or sorrows, but as his disciplines, his means of bringing about growth in our lives. It is helpful to consider some of the specific ends God has in mind when he allows adversity in our lives. Pruning. God uses adversity to loosen our grip on those things that are not spiritual fruit. In adversity, we begin to relinquish our desires and expectations, even good ones, to the sovereign will of God. Holiness. Adversity causes us to grow in holiness because it reveals the corruption of our sinful nature. What we have mastered in good times may quickly fade in adversity, showing us the need to go deeper in our battle against the rebellion of our wills, the perversity of our affections, and the spiritual ignorance of our minds. Dependence. God teaches us through adversity to rely on Him instead of ourselves. Apart from our union with Christ and a total reliance upon Him, we can do nothing that glorifies God. Perseverance. God wants us to learn to do more than simply bear up under adversity. Perseverance is the quality of character that enables one to pursue a goal in spite of obstacles and difficulties. Service. Adversity equips us for more effective service. It is necessary to make us into people who are fit for the responsibilities that God wants to give us. The fellowship of suffering. Through adversity, we have the privilege of entering into a special fellowship with other believers who are also in the throes of adversity. Suffering unites our hearts together in Christ more than any other aspect of fellowship. Relationship with God. Perhaps the most valuable way we profit from adversity is the deepening of our relationship with God. You and I obviously do not seek out adversity just so we can develop a deeper relationship with God. Rather, God, through adversity, seeks us out. It is God who draws us more and more into a deeper relationship with Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I could go home right now. Yeah, this was a really good chapter, and if you haven't read through this chapter, I would really encourage you to. I probably say that about every chapter, but this one was really, really good. And I know that, you know, so many of us, well, we all go through adversity. And even with the things that are going on right now in this world and whatnot, it was just very, very encouraging. So our first section here is on developing trust. Think about the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. How does adversity encourage each of the following? So he goes through all of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and on. And we were to write down, or how does adversity encourage growth in these areas? So I thought of like for love, how does adversity encourage us to grow in love?
When we seek another person's good, it's expressed in, love is expressed in all of these following things.
Right, right.
And I had a thing in here that I pasted in my book, Bible, I don't know how many years ago. It says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, Paul writes, and then goes on to set forth what he had always taken additional qualities of love, but joy, peace, patience, and so on. But this is how the notebook put it. Joy, which is love smiling. Peace is love resting. Patience is love waiting. Kindness is love showing itself sensitive to others' feelings. Goodness is love making allowances and sacrifices for others. Faithfulness is love proving constant. Gentleness is love yielding. And self-control is love triumphing over selfish inclinations.
Mm, that's good.
So love is singular.
Sure.
But it's shown in all these other ways.
Yeah. And I thought of with adversity, when love grows, when we're untreated fairly, do I have the love of Christ in my heart for that person who wronged me? And I thought about the fruit of the Spirit, so how we need to grow fruit in a garden and how the weeds can grow in so quickly. So I kind of thought about the opposite, you know, so instead of love, I thought the weeds of resentment and bitterness can grow awfully quickly instead of love. And so I think for me, it's when I'm treated unfairly, you know, and looking at that other person, do I have love for that person, or am I growing in bitterness or resentment? How about joy? How does joy grow during adversity?
It's just the presence of God in our lives.
Yeah.
Despite our circumstances.
Right. When my circumstances are anything but joy-filled, is my source of joy placed in Christ alone? My relationship to Him, my salvation, my eternal perspective versus the temporal. And there I thought the weeds of discontentment can come in really quickly instead of being joyful. How about peace? When turmoil is all around us and in the world, I need to remember He is peace. And I thought of John 14:27, when Jesus said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." And there I thought the weeds of fear can creep in instead of peace, His peace. And patience. Does anybody need to grow in patience? Every minute of every day. I said there's so many opportunities to stretch the muscle of patience every day, isn't there? Even when we're waiting for answers to prayer, we're dealing with people that just rub us the wrong way. And I thought, for me, the weeds are frustration and pride. It's often pride that comes in for me.
It's learning contentment.
Mm-hmm. It is learning to be content. Yes. To have a heart of gratitude and How about kindness? It's out of Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving as God in Christ forgave you. I looked up the word, it means mild or pleasant, as opposed to being harsh or sharp with someone. Just that outward expression, and of course love falls in there too. And goodness, I looked that up. Goodness is uprightness of heart and life. The deliberate preference of right versus wrong. Choosing to follow all moral goodness. Again, just turning to the Lord for His work in us to have that goodness within us. It's nothing we have done. It's all Him. How about faithfulness?
Perseverance and dependability.
Loyalty. Yeah, I thought adversity at times can cause us to reevaluate or look, where does my faith lie? In what or whom am I trusting? Am I looking at the outcome of my circumstance or the one who is in control of that circumstance? Where does my faith lie? And then gentleness.
Humility.
In humility, yeah. Meekness or humility. I think adversity can diminish our pridefulness and cause us to be more empathetic or gentle with those around us that are experiencing adversity as well. And then how about self-control? Anyone have an issue with self-control?
I mean, we talked about faith yesterday. I gave in.
Well, we need to be controlled by the Spirit too, don't we? Not. Yeah.
Draws us more and more.
Yes.
To a relationship.
Yes.
And in all these things, it's when we submit to
that. That's exactly right. Submitting to Him. Submitting to His will.
Takes that hard work.
Exactly.
I always think about it as putting on the armor of God.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, which of these have grown in your own life through adversity? And you can go through that list and probably list them all at some point. So, did the growth you experienced endure after the adversity passed? You can answer that for yourself. And I said, well, in some cases, it has, but got a long ways to go. But I said, I thank God, the Lord, for His growing this fruit in my life, knowing it is His power at work within me, nothing I have done on my own. So any growth that we've seen, any fruit that we see, it's all because of Him. There again, it's His grace. It's all His grace. So Sandy, if you would look up Romans 5, 3 to 5, and Mandy, James 1, 2 through 4, and then for the next question, Gaylene, Hebrews 12, 2. So we're looking at, in Romans and James, what should our attitude be in the midst of adversity and why?
And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proving character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
And James?
Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith involves perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking.
So what should be our attitude in the midst of adversity and why?
We're supposed to thank the Lord for it. Be thankful for all things, he says in his word, all things and in all things. And every trial becomes a test of faith designed to strengthen the
bond with God. But as a Christian, our afflictions are not.
Right. Yeah, our adversity brings about perseverance and maturity in Christ and hope. That's what in Romans says, hope. The testing of our faith produces endurance against perfect and complete maturity in Christ. I mean, if I were to just come up and ask you, you know, do you want to be mature in Christ? Well, yes, of course I do. Well, it's going to take some adversity to get there. That's the part we don't want to, you know. It's not, we don't grow in the quote-unquote easier times. That's how he has designed us, to grow in those tough times. So how did Jesus maintain this attitude in Hebrews?
Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
So what does it say that Jesus did?
He had joy in what he endured.
He had joy because he fixed his eyes on his future reunion with God the Father. He looked at the eternal. He looked at what his reward was. So we have to look at our future reward. And not necessarily completely heaven. I mean, that is our ultimate reward. But even here on earth, just the reward of growing in Christ and becoming more like Him. That's how we need to look at our adversities, that we are growing more like Jesus if we allow Him to. So how can we cultivate this? Is the next question. And I just said we need to fix our eyes on Jesus as our example. We need to grow in our relationship with Him, desire to become more like Him, and do what it takes to get there. We need to be intentional, not lazy, in growing in our faith. So,
attitude. Our attitude,
yes. Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah. So what does Philippians 1:6 say about our spiritual growth? It says, "For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ."
God has begun, he will finish.
What God has begun, he will finish, and it's a process. God began the work within us to grow and mature us into the likeness of his Son, and he will perfect it. He will mature it. He will continue to grow that work that he has begun within us. Isn't that encouraging? He's just not going to leave us on our own.
That prayer became very important to me when my son was going through some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just claimed that promise.
Yep.
God fulfilled it.
So what happens when we resist God's working in our lives through adversity? I would say those weeds of bitterness and resentment can grow up pretty quickly. Weeds of discontentment, anger. We could become stunted in our growth. Our lives become status quo. We just fall into a downward spiral if we resist.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. Our path, which happens.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Even when we are not.
Isn't that wonderful that he is faithful even when we are not? So what warning is given to us in Job 36:21?
Be careful, do not turn to evil, for you have preferred this to affliction. So don't turn to rebellion or sin in order to try to avoid affliction.
Right. Right. Yeah, we could raise our fist at God in defiance and turn away from him instead of toward him. I mean, adversity should draw us toward him. I mean, he draws us to himself, and rather than turning away from him, we should turn toward him. Well, then there's the next question. I'm getting ahead of myself today. Have you been drawn to God's word in times of adversity? Why or why not?
Take the word of God into school, and wow, they are getting pounded on them badly. And he's like, I just keep trying, but it's kind of making me mad. I'm like, don't get mad, because that's not going to help. But he just has this little boy that is his friend, and he's like, do I keep trying, or do I just not be friends with him?
Oh.
This is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Hmm.
You gotta keep trying, but you can't just go
to that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's like cut and dry. This is wrong and this is right. Well, you're right, but.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit kinder.
Mm-hmm.
There's comfort in God's word, and we can claim his promises.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the comfort comes, because he's true.
Mm-hmm. He cannot lie, but he will fulfill.
Yeah,
there have been times I don't feel like getting into his word during times of adversity, but as I've grown in my faith, I've realized that turning to his word is where I first need to go. Yeah. And then as far as that goes, Mandy, what you shared about your son and Levi trying to share, because I had that issue with one of our sons, and he was just couldn't understand why one of his friends just didn't understand. And, you know, and I said, you know what, everybody's on a different journey, and you are totally on a different journey than that person. You just have to love them, and yeah, you can't beat them over the head with it. It's not your job to change their heart. That's the Holy Spirit. So all you can do is pray for them, love them. And, you know, yeah, so, but bless his heart for having a heart for wanting his friend to know Jesus. So what portions of scripture have become especially important to you during trying times?
Philippians 4.
Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord.
I say rejoice. Think on what is right and do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Learn to be content no matter my circumstances. There's so much in that chapter.
There is. Philippians 4 is a great place to go.
Isaiah 26:3,
Yeah, for me it's the Psalms. David and the other psalmists crying out to God in their distress shows it's okay to cry out to him, to lament, to grieve, but then they find their strength in God and God alone. So according to John 15:2, what is the purpose of God's pruning?
Cuts off every branch in him that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it, so that it will be even more fruitful.
So God's pruning is for us that we would bear more fruit. We are to be fruit bearers. We bear the image of Jesus Christ as we are created in his image. And I just wrote down for myself, what image of Christ am I portraying to the world around me? So we need to be fruit bearers, and he prunes us that we would bear more fruit, be more like Jesus. Sure. So even in the church, Christians sometimes seek things that are not true spiritual fruit, such as position, success, and reputation. What counterfeit fruit have you been tempted to seek? And you can answer that for yourself. What is the connection between adversity or discipline and holiness as expressed in Hebrews 12:10?
For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness.
We may share in his holiness. Be partakers of his holiness is another version said it. And we'll be studying holiness next quarter. It is. And I don't know if any of you are reading last, or is it this month's resource book, Gentle and Lowly, by Dana Ortlund. It is a wonderful book about Jesus' heart, his heart, because it talks about in Matthew, I want to say 11:29, where Jesus says, I am gentle and lowly of heart. There's not many other passages. That might be the only passage that he says is where Jesus talks about what his heart is. But he talks about there in his, about his holiness. And anyway, we'll maybe save that for next quarter. We'll talk more about that, but... because it's a big topic. I mean, there's a lot of depth there. So, but anyway, God disciplines us for our good that we may share his holiness or be partakers of his holiness. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9. Sandy, if you do that. And then Mandy, if you would do 12:8-10. How does adversity teach us to depend on God?
We do not want you to be unaware, brother, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead.
That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
So how does our adversity teach us to depend on God?
They come to the end of themselves.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. What's that? submission to him. Yeah, we come to the end of ourselves and in our frailty, in our weakness during times of adversity, God gives us his strength to carry on, to persevere.
Despair in Greek means no passage, no way out. We trust in God, he can raise the dead.
Yes. Yes. Hebrews 10:36 and 12, Hebrews 12:1 speak of the need to persevere. What is the goal of our perseverance?
For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Finish the race.
Finish the race. Finish well. We want to finish well.
I mean, if we didn't have a goal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, right?
Yep. Right. Yeah, that's the promise. Receive the promise, Hebrews 10:36 tells us. Promise of eternal life, which is here and now, the abundant life that he gives us here and now. And then to be an example or an encouragement to those around us as well. When people see that you're persevering through your adversity, that gives others encouragement in their adversity or just to increase their faith in the true and living God, that he gave you the strength to do that, to persevere. Yeah. That's why a lot of despair and out there. How can we learn to persevere? And I just put down, fix our eyes on Jesus. And talked about how Jesus fixed his eyes on the Father. What's that?
God has a purpose in it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It is for our good.
Yep.
Put a note in here for Hebrews. It says, faith will never grow apart from endurance. There is no such commodity as instant faith.
No such commodity as instant faith. We wish there were. Push that microwave button and make our faith just grow.
It's tested all the time.
For sure.
I think it's you watching from generations before you or from an older mentor or watching the faith and then from your great parents or your parents.
Yeah.
If you have that looking at
that.
People in his church that are passed on. They were great examples. Meg and Ruth Hunsinger, and all that they did. Irene Adams. It's just so many, that people have not gotten to know because they were passed on, but they left a legacy to this church.
Yeah. So why does suffering deepen the fellowship between believers?
It helps us to show compassion. We can encourage others. The same encouragement and compassion that we have been shown.
Yes. When we experience similar difficulties or trials, we can relate to what somebody else is going through and encourage them in their faith, knowing who is in control and where our strength comes from. Anyone want to describe a time when you experienced deeper fellowship through suffering? I'm sure we all have.
There was, people drove me to my radiation and chemo treatments every day. Was willing to do that. The cards and the food came.
It's
just a lot of that.
Yep. And then Psalms 34:18. Who's up? Your turn. What does this say about how adversity affects our relationship with God?
To the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God is there. We don't always feel his presence, but we know from his word that he never leaves us or forsakes us.
Right.
He draws near to believers in their fear.
Mm-hmm. He draws near to us. Isn't that just hope-filled words right there? I said, he experienced grief to watch his son suffer and die. So we feel grief or pain when we see our children suffer. But then I thought, how much more does our Heavenly Father empathize with us in our weakness and our frailty? So he draws near to us. And which of the seven results of suffering have you personally experienced? Pruning, holiness, dependence, perseverance, service, fellowship, relationship with God. And I said all of the above at one time or another. And continue to. It's a lot of what? Lots of pruning. Lots of pruning going on. Yeah.
Maybe the same branch. Oh,
I say, Lord, am I ever going to get it right?
I know, right? It's like, here, you got to cut the same branch.
Bop me on the head. Just trick me out.
But he never loses his patience with us. He never gets frustrated. He is so, and that's one thing I'm learning in that book, too, Gentle and Lowly, of Christ's heart and just how compassionate and loving he is. And yeah, in our human mind we think, well, I would have given up on me a long time ago, but that it's not Christ. I mean, he just
sometimes I do think he's like, here we are again, here
yeah,
you and me, right?
But that's not his heart.
I know
that's exactly.
Psalm 34:17 says the righteous cry and the Lord hears,
mm-hmm,
and delivers them out of all their troubles.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. There's so many promises in his word that we can call on and believe in and trust in. So, Sandy, would you close in prayer?
Father, we're so thankful to know you as our personal Savior. Thank you that you chose us and you drew us to yourself. And just thank you for your word and the constant comfort that it gives, the encouragement that it gives, your promises that we can draw upon because we know you are faithful to each and every one of them. And we know, Lord, that you are always near, even when we don't feel your nearness. We can know in our heart because your word tells us you will never forsake us or leave us no matter what. We're so thankful, Father, for so many things, and even the adversity and the pruning that you do in our lives to just help us to be more like you. And it's a daily experience, Father. And we just thank you that you never give up on us. You're always there. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.